So, all right. And I'm supposed to announce this. There's a Linger Longer Fellowship Sunday night. A to M, bring something salty or savory. N to Z, bring something sweet. So there it is. It's probably on the bulletin board, but that's what's being announced. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms, to one of the 15 Psalms of Degrees, 121. Psalm 121. Pastor, of course, is still out of town. I believe he's traveling back tonight or tomorrow. Not sure. But Psalm 121. Keeper of my soul. What does it mean to have a keeper? In Psalm 121, the word keeper and keepeth occurs three times, and the word preserve occurs three times. If there's anything in these lives of ours that we need, and that is a keeper of our soul, what does that mean? Going to take a look at that very, very quickly. All right, let's read this psalm, then I'll pray. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved, and he who keepeth thee, number one, will not slumber. Number two, behold, he who keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And number three, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thee, second time, thy soul. The Lord third time shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Psalm 121 is, as I said, one of 15 what are called songs of degrees. And this song or psalm was written and was given forth as the children of Israel would go up to Jerusalem. It was written probably at the time in which they were returning from the 70 years captivity. I'm not quite sure of all of that, but this psalm is one of those psalms. It's called either the Soldier's Song or it is also called the Traveler's Song. And so when you're traveling, this might be a good psalm to read just before you get in the car and start traveling, wondering if God's going to keep you safe along the way. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for tonight. Thank you for each one that's made it their business to be here in the house of the Lord to pray and to seek your face, and we pray for your hand upon this night, that Christ will receive the praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some believe that there are 15 steps leading up to the temple court in Jerusalem. It's been written by Charles Spurgeon about that. And some also believe that these songs were sung one step at a time. There's 15 steps to get up to the Temple Mount. Some believe that that was taking place. So all the way from Psalm 120 all the way to Psalm 134, you'll see it says Psalms of Degree or a Song of Degree. And this is the second one, known as, we said, the Traveler's Song. Assurance, comfort, deliverance, those types of things we need in our hearts and our lives when we're going through difficult times. Our country is going through difficult times. When we're going through traveling from this and traveling from that. Key verses, as I said, there's 3, 4, and 5, as stated three times, he is the keeper of your soul. What does that mean? Well, it really means that he's in charge. And he is going to do that great work. It is God's hand that covers us. It's God's hand that keeps us close to the Lord. What a joy to know that no matter what will come to pass, you will be safe in the arms of the Lord. John 10 tells us that. We are in the hollow of his hand, right? And that is one. Another great psalm that deals with that is Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. It's a great psalm to read, but this is one of great comfort. You have to understand that the children of Israel had been, and if you're in my Sunday school class, we're starting a series of the return of the children of Israel. Three times they returned, this first time under Zerubbabel, and then under Ezra, and then under Nehemiah. And the rebuilding, they had been in 70 years in captivity, away from their homeland. Unbelievable what had taken place. So these were songs that were sung. The joy that was in their hearts and the joy that needs to be in our hearts. The joy of knowing that he is going to keep them. As stated and sung, as the nation returned to Jerusalem. And I was reading this and studying a little bit about this, and there's going to be a day when all of Israel, that is, they will be saved as in a moment. And there will be a remnant of Israel. And during the millennial reign of Christ, that's going to be absolutely incredible what is going to take place. The tribulation period will be 7 years on earth. And all hell will break loose. Satan will do everything possible. The false prophets and the Antichrist. And of course, today we have the spirit of Antichrist that is upon the earth right now and causing people to do all kinds of crazy things. And yet, during this period, it will be over. But wow, what a day that will be when all of Israel will sing these songs of joy. And this one especially, because he says there, Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Number one in this particular verse, to lift up your eyes. What does it mean to lift up your eyes? Look up. Many times the scriptures teaches us as believers to keep our eyes where? On the Lord. Up. God's up. He's in heaven. And yet here is a close facsimile of that, and he's talking about this in a great way here. All right, we sing a song. My faith looks up to thee, O Lamb of Calvary. And the children of Israel here were lifting their eyes unto the Lord, and they were keeping their eyes appealed, obviously, for something that was even greater than they could even think about. Go to Luke chapter 21, and this is what was in focus here. The close of what we know as the tribulation period. And you have to understand that, and you know this, that Israel today, the remnant of Israel, they have no idea that this is going to take place. Although it was prophesied in the Old Testament, Luke chapter 21. All right, verses 25 through 28. This is the return of Christ. Now, this is the return of Christ, not the rapture. And there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations and perplexity in the seas, waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. And this is really a prophetically telling the children of Israel to look up, for redemption draweth nigh. The close of the tribulation period, time in which Christ will come back and we will come back with him. All right? We will come back. And then that millennial reign of Christ will begin. So all of Jerusalem will be rebuilt. And the temple will be rebuilt. And so this song is really a song that this is literally, they are looking forward to that. And the question is, where is my help? My help comes from the Lord. The children of Israel and many, many people look, well, where's your help? What? How are we going to get through this mess? How's things going to go on and on? And of course, we are reminded here, from whence cometh my help? And the answer comes in verse 2. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And he proclaims that, the answer to that question. Today, we have one called alongside of us in the church, who is our helper. He is known as the Paraclete. He is known as the Holy Spirit of God. And he comes alongside of us and is able to help us. So where is our help? Well, John 14 talks about that. He is the one who is our help. Notice the verse there that says in verse 2, my help comes from the Lord who made. What a great reference there to creation. Once again, the one who caused, but the one who made and brought it to pass. My help comes from the Lord. All right. Nothing can escape God's help. Nothing. He can do anything. From the promise to the problem, to a prayer, to a place, to a person, the one that he speaks of is the one who created it and created this world. And that is our helper. Verses 3 and 4. Here is the three places where he talks about who's the keeper of your soul. Number one, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He who keepeth thee will not slumber. Now, if you look back at Israel and look understandingly at what was taking place there, as they were in captivity, as they were going through all of the troubles and difficulties in their lives, it certainly was a difficult time for them. But here, once again, he reminds them, as he reminds us, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He will not. He who keepeth thee. What a great promise we have in our lives. What a great promise there. No matter what's happening in your life, great to be related to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Great to have him in our lives because he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. The Bible concludes that for us in the New Testament. This is one of those promises that he comes here. So he will not suffer your foot to be moved. He will not do those things, but he who keepeth thee will not slumber. That's a great, great promise there. Who was it in the Old Testament? And Elijah, Elisha, the one, no, who is the prophet that told them to sacrifice to Baal when they were sacrificing to Baal, and he told them to who was that? Elijah, cry out to their gods, you know, cut themselves, do all that. Maybe he's sleeping and maybe he's doing all that sort of crazy stuff, you know, and making it really funny at that point. And yet we have a God who is alive. We have a God who never, man, can't imagine that. We need sleep. You need it? There's a new family back there and she's saying, yes, I need it all the time. This baby keeps me up all the time. That's what you got John Mark for, because John Mark's supposed to do all that. But anyways, God doesn't sleep. What? Are you kidding? Well, that's God. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. All right, let's keep going here quick. I'm going to get going here. All right, he will not allow us to be moved. He is the keeper. He keeps us. We are completely safe. We are in the center of his hands. John 28 talks about that. All right. Hollow of his hand, sheep of the pasture. He is the good shepherd. Verse 4, behold, he says there, behold, what does that mean? Behold. All right. He's shouting it out. All right. He said, listen up. All right. What is it? Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The children of Israel were thinking, where's God? What's happening? Heard tonight on, I think I heard Christian radio something about, you know, so oftentimes we cry out, where are you at, God, in all of this mess? He's here right now. We sometimes think not because we get tied up into all of our troubles. Well, anyways, he who keeps thee. God has his eye on his people. And the bride of Christ, that's you and I. All right? In the treasury of David, I brought that tonight. I want to read this. See if I can find it real quick. Mr. Spurgeon said this. See if I can get it quickly. All right. There it is. Verse 4. A number of years ago, Captain D commanded a vessel sailing from Liverpool to New York. And in one voyage, he had his family with him on board the ship. All right. One night, when he was quietly asleep, there arose such a sudden squall of the wind, which came sweeping over the waters until it struck the vessel and instantly threw on her side and tumbled and crashing everywhere in the movable, awakening the passengers to the consciousness that they were in imminent peril. Everyone on board was alarmed and uneasy, and some sprang from their berths and began to dress and that they might be ready for the worst. Captain D had a little girl on board. She was 8 years old, who, of course, was awake at the rest, and she was down there. All right? She awoke and said, "What's the matter?" said the frightened child. They told her the squall that struck the ship. "Is father on deck?" she said. "Yes, father's on deck." The little thing dropped herself on her pillow again and without fear, and in the moments was sleeping sweetly in spite of the winds and in spite of the waves. No matter what, all right, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber. And in verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Third time, the statue here is the keeper, the great comfort, the strength that we have, the shade, all right, the soldier fighting. Wow, this is incredible, all right? And at this point, the psalmist here says that the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. No other can hold a straw to the Lord at this point. Verse number 6, keeper of my soul because of the sun and the moon. Now, this is an interesting one here. All right, this is very interesting. In verse number 8, or verse number 6, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Now, Spurgeon talks about this, and it's a very interesting. You ever heard the word moon, being moonstruck? It really comes from this, but it really comes from the fact that the sailors sometimes out on the sea, because it can be so calm and there's absolutely no shade around, all right? And at night, if the full moon comes out, the moon can actually cast it upon. That moon can be cast upon, tonight's a full moon, all right? And to be moonstruck is actually to be laying there and to be having that striking you so that they actually fall asleep. They actually fall asleep with the eye of the moon there, all right? And so sailors, it's like sleeping on deck. Verse 7 and 8, keeper of my soul, he is a preserver. Verse 7 and 8 deals with being a preserver. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out. Now this is interesting. Going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. No matter what, he is the keeper of our soul. Psalm 121, verse 1. How many of you have watched Sound of Music? And do you know that verse is quoted? If you remember this, Maria is going to get married, all right? And she's in the convent, and she comes out, and the chief nun, whatever, she quotes this verse as Maria was just about ready to leave and, you know, to get married. And I don't know if it was there or they were getting ready to leave, but she quotes this. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Where's God's help? He's there. Never, never will forsake us. Always with us. What a great psalm. And if these psalms are going to be sung as the children of Israel go up to Jerusalem during the millennium, I can't imagine the tears that's going to be flowing out of their eyes. And it ought to be out of our eyes as well. He will not suffer thy foot. He keeps us. He keeps us, he keeps us, and preserves us. What a great psalm. I trust that can encourage your hearts tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. I pray that you would help us to keep our focus, things and our eyes upon someone who will not forsake us, who will not, who keeps us continually because he loves us with that unending love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. 7:30, we're out of here. We're going to the West Wing.